Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today is episode 66, Tuesday Tales number 12, Interrupting the Wizard. But first, I have call-ins from John Large of Red Dice Diaries, Ivy the Happy Whisk, and Cody M. of No Save for You.
Hi, Larry. This is John from Red Dice Diaries. And as I'm sitting here on my throne of RPG books, surrounded by all of the publications I've collected over the years, and idly flicking through the pages of one of my many PDFs that I have on my computer, I thought I'd just leave a message about this gamer acquisition disorder or syndrome. Now, I think you're absolutely right. It is a big problem where you have so many games, you're never going to play them. But to balance that out, I also think that even if I don't play all of these games, as someone who GMs an awful lot, by reading through them, I get a lot of ideas and little rules and bits and pieces I can pull out of them and incorporate into the games that I do run. So even if I don't run these games 100% as is, I still gain some benefit from having them and from reading them. Anyway, that's all I wanted to call in with. Great episode. Keep them up, dude.
John, thanks for calling in. I think you got it that I was kidding about the gamer disorder. That was, I think, something that Spike Pitt mentioned on his call-in, and so I took a twist on the different organizations for people that have real problems. And I believe I said that in my last episode. All the stuff I've got, I try to take something from each thing, and I've got all kinds of notes I've gathered from all the different things I've collected over the years, but trying to find a way to actually implement all those cool ideas, it does percolate in the back of my brain and does have some influence in some aspects, I'm sure. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Larry. John from Red Dice Diaries here again. Just busy listening to some of the comments about your ideas of a city as a dungeon. Now, although it's not a city, in my recent West Haven game, due to the incidents in the sort of first season of the game, the southwestern part of this mythical version of the United Kingdom we're running it in has become overgrown and overrun by these intelligent carnivorous, almost triffid-like plant creatures. So I'm envisioning that the actual whole of the southwest part of the main continent will effectively be one huge sort of jungle slash plant and city infested dungeon. So thought I'd throw that out there as another idea. I'm not sure entirely how I'm going to develop it at the minute, but really looking forward to like giving it a go and sort of using it as an above ground mega dungeon style segment. Enjoying the episodes, dude. Catch you soon. Take care.
And today's a twofer from John. Seems that my episode on Cities as Dungeons was quite popular, with several people commenting about that. And as I think about it, all role-playing games have whatever the area that you're working all uses basically the same game structure and mechanics as dungeons. There may be some variation between outside and inside, and city versus wilderness, above ground versus below ground, but a lot of the concepts are similar. Whatever the area is, whether it's bounded by four walls, a ceiling, floor, and a door, or a wide open space, there's still common elements. The boundaries may be different. The flexibility of the encounter space may vary, but there's still a lot of commonality. For some reason, that seems to be a bit of a twist in thinking that I've had, that any encounter area should be like plug and play. Come up with an encounter for a certain group of creatures. Are they creatures that could somehow be in the dungeon, or somehow be in the wilderness, or somehow be in the city? You could have a large stack of encounters that, if you designed them flexibly, could go anywhere. Just something to think about. Thanks for the call-ins, John. I really appreciate it. Next up is the Happy Whisk. Take it away, Whisk.
Hey, Larry, it's the Happy Whisk, and I hope you have a very, very, very good and productive 2019 without getting too caught up in having to have three a week done, especially during your busy time. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year, Whisk out.
Thanks, Ivy. This week at work has made it very clear to me that trying to hit three podcasts a week is going to be quite the challenge, and I almost punted it again tonight, but I needed a break. It's after 10 o'clock in the evening, And I basically have been working except for running out to get something to eat, to get some stuff done for work. So the rest of the month and into January is not quite so crazy. Too many deadlines, too many things to do. Words of wisdom to not be too serious about the hobby and let it overtake your life, not to be too serious about work either. But I'm not always very good at listening to my own advice, let alone other people's advice. But I do appreciate it. Thank you for the Christmas wishes. Happy Christmas to you and Tim as well, Ivy. I hope you have a wonderful and productive, happy 2019. And next up is the mysterious Cody M.
Hey, Larry, it's Cody. I was glad to hear from you, man. I know it's been a little bit, but sounds to me like you've just been real busy with work and needed to take a break for a bit. Nothing wrong with that. You know, definitely don't let the podcast get in the way of opportunities to take care of yourself and your family. And, I guess when we hear from you, we'll hear from you, and I'm looking forward to it. Catch you later.
Thanks, Cody. I appreciate that. It's nice that we have a community of podcasters here that all understand that real life gets in the way sometimes, and we do the best we can. And the main point is, if we're not having fun doing it, we need to step back and take a break and reevaluate. When I get this super busy, fun things aren't as fun, but I'm trying to be in a better headspace, and I needed a break from the crazy work I've been involved in. If I didn't do this extra work, I'd regret it. I've got a lot of stuff I got to get done before January 2nd. And because January 2nd, we're going to hit the ground running. It really stinks that New Year's is in the middle of the week. But c'est la vie. We will persevere. This will be my 20th year end. I've done it before. Definitely not as rough as the year either of my parents died. Those were the two roughest year ends I ever dealt with, because that just killed my motivation. No death in the family or anything like that. So as long as it's not that stressful, I can persevere. So now on to today's episode. Well, that was a weird one. Anyway, we'll see how that gets edited out. So on to today's episode, Interrupting the Wizard. This is not a way back in the day tale. This is one of the scenarios in my personal campaign with my sons and my oldest son's now fiance. As I recall, I think it was my oldest son and his fiance's characters. It might have been my youngest son's. It's blurry, but they went to the wizard that they were always going to for assistance, and I just kind of made up a table in my head for what's going on with the wizard. And I've got some rough notes on it somewhere. I really need to put that together and make something a little more fleshed out. But the wizard can't be available all the time that they stop by. If the wizard's always available, they expect it. They went to the wizard, and I guess his servant didn't answer the door, and so they kept knocking or something. It was ridiculous. And all of a sudden, there's a kaboom and smoke billowing out of the wizard's tower, and him yelling epithets and so forth, and muttering and storming down to the door and glaring at them. And I think the saving grace was that I think they had something that the wizard wanted, or they had information or something. I'm trying to remember the scenario. I have to. My office is a pit. I need to find my notes on that. How do you handle the characters always going to the same person for information? Is that person always available? Is it a plot point that that person's always available? If it makes sense in the campaign that that person's always available, whether by magical means or whatever, to give some verisimilitude to that, I think it's helpful to not have your information source NPCs always available. Make the players have to wait and decide, are they going to wait till they're sure the information source is back? Are they going to give it a short amount of waiting, or lose patience and rush off to their doom without information? That's a lot more like real life in my experience. The people you need to talk to that have the answers, or you hope have the answers, are not always available on a time frame that you wish they were. So how do you handle that in your games? And that's definitely true of any genre. whether it's D&D or Gamma World. How does that work? So this will be a short one tonight. Thanks for listening, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on.